I like that. Of course, at this point in my career, they probably just print man stains carpet. It's not enough.
Hi, you're tuned right into WUSB Stony Brook, New York, and if, like me, you tend to be very nervous about things, I think the answer is probably to go for oral gratification. So, when you hear this, either light a cigarette, or if you don't smoke, have some tea or some coffee, or bite your fingernails, or take your socks off and pick your toenails. Or, failing that, just rub your hands together and sweat in terror. All right? Bye!
Hi, this is Lisa with your concert billboard for Sunday, September 26th. Tonight, Jenna Torturers and Thorn will be at the Limelight. Duff McKagan is at Webster Hall. The Dennis Bram Quintet is at the C-Note Cafe. The Touch will be at the Dublin Pub. Willie Steele and the Terraplane Blues Band are at Mother McGee's. Long Island Rhythm and Blues Review are at Rocks. Backdoor Benny is at the Stephen Talk House. The Rhythm Kings are at the Timepiece Cafe. John Zorn's Cobra is at the Knitting Factory. The Hard-Ons, Dumpster Juice, and the Tulips are at Maxwell's. Shrieking Violets, Melting Hopefuls, and Bebo are at Continental. The Scofflaws are at Wetlands. Ron Sunshine in the Smoking Section is at Mondo Perso. Neglect, Bad Trip, Mind Over Matter, and Yuppie Side are at CBGB's. The Blue Scoobies are at Otto's Sea Grill. And Dry Show is at the Right Track Inn. Tomorrow night, the Off-Track Band is at the Dublin Pub. Spy vs. Spy is at the Knitting Factory. The Meatheads, Mama Kettle, and the Gods are at the Lone Star Roadhouse. The Flying Neutrinos are at the Rodeo Bar. And Gina Gina, Banana Seat, and Ultra Bite are at Continental. On Tuesday, September 28th, Darlene Love is at the Bottom Line. The Manhattan Project and Bill Gerard are at Molly Bloom's in Smithtown. Mephiscopheles is at SOB's. Orangutan and Smack Melon will be at the Limelight. Archery will be at the Knitting Factory. The Papa Chubby's Blues Band will be at Mondo Perso. The Invaders, Stow and Come Again are at Continental. And Glories, Machinery Hall, Brain Dance, and Nightwing are at CBGB's. On Wednesday, September 29th, Robin Trower is at the Grand. Scooby Groove, The Sauce, and Brother Mustard are at Wetlands. Sex Bombs, Degenerate Art, and Screwball Review will be at Continental. Sovereignty, Crab Apples, Jamie Block, and Hounds will be at CBGB's. And the Lincolns and Joni Wallace will be at Maddie T's. On Thursday, September 30th, Terrence Simeon and the Mallet Playboys will be at Tramps. The Cranes and Morphine will be at Grand. John and Mary will be at the Wetlands. The Funk Philharmonic is at the Brokerage. The Wahoos will be at Fast Eddie's, and Something Blue is at the C-Note Cafe. On Friday, October 1st, Irma Thomas is at Tramps. Bad Religion, Green Day, and Seaweed will be at Roseland. The Julian Hatfield 3 and Matter Rose will be at the Academy. The Bisbees and the Niagaras will be at Wetlands. Moonboot Lover will be at Mother McGee's. The Touch will be at Crawdaddy's. And Squirrels from Hell will be at the Lion's Den. On Saturday, October 2nd, World Music with Oregon will be at IMAC in Huntington. Chaka Khan and Cool and the Gang will be at Westbury Music Fair. Oral Groove is at Tilt. Slam Jammers, Bad Son, Mama Said, and Circle 7 will be at the Lone Star Roadhouse. Mad Hat will be at Barnaby's. Simon and Garfunkel will be at the Paramount. And Terrence Trent D'Arby will be at the Palladium. For more information, call WUSB at 516-632-6901 or contact the venue. Concert Billboard can be heard weekdays at 3 and 9 a.m., 4:30 and 10 p.m., and on weekends at noon and midnight. You're listening to 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook.
You're listening to WUSB, Stony Brook. If you have sensitive ears, we won't make fun of you, but we do warn you. that they may hurt more if you stay tuned than if you turn to something less controversial, like HBO or MTV or any of those other commercial stations out there, or non-commercial stations out there, or anything else. Go out into an alleyway and hang out with people there. Go into New York City. Hang out in the Bowery, Chinatown, Uptown, any place. But if you listen to WUSB at this hour of the night, on this day of the week, well, just don't say we didn't warn you. It's time for Brain Damage.
Merchandise like time. So this off, Satan, and don't take me for dumber than I was. As an old junk pusher told me, watch whose money you pick up. Words of advice for young people. 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 People often ask me if I have any words of advice for young people.
Welcome to Brain Damage with Eric Corley. Tonight, Eric's very special guest is Dan Quayle.
Well, too bad it isn't William Burroughs, huh?
And that's what I believe.
And I also believe.
Yeah, it's about the level of callers that you will hear on Brain Damage. But you got to listen carefully in order to hear that kind of quality. We're at 632-6901, area code 516. This is Brain Damage. We're here Saturdays, or Sundays now? Is it Sunday? Yeah, Sunday. Hi, Spiny, how are you?
Hi, Sunday.
You look awfully, you always sweat up a storm after that psychedelic show of yours.
Yeah, it's a hard come down.
Yeah, it certainly is.
It was a weird stock this year.
Well, we're back this week. I wasn't quite sure if after the disaster of last week we would actually make it back for another week. But we straightened things out on Monday. For those of you who don't know, we accidentally scheduled an interview with an actor who happened to be dead, Richard Burton. But that's all been cleared up, and that won't happen again, will it, Jim?
Uh-huh.
Jim is just kind of sitting there staring, rolling his eyes up into the... I don't quite know what he's looking at over there in Studio 3. We haven't let him out of there the last day or so because we wanted to make sure that nothing like last week happened. We held Jim fully responsible for that particular misunderstanding. And... it's not going to happen again, right, Jim? I'm serious about that. It's not going to happen.
No question about it.
All right, well, the only problem with an answer like that is that I'm not quite sure how he means it. No question about it. It's not going to happen again, and no question about it is going to happen. It's not going to happen again because I took care of this week's guest myself. We have Dan Quayle. I just got off the phone with him before the show, and we will be calling him at his home in Indiana. And those of you that follow politics, you know that Dan Quayle does indeed live in Indiana, so there's absolutely no question about that. All right. And we have all kinds of political questions to ask, too, like, how did you feel when George Bush threw up in Tokyo? I mean, did you feel that maybe that could be you one day? You know, things like that. And, you know, all kidding aside, because we're, it's a gentleman's game radio. We kid around, we make fun of Dan Quayle. We quote Dan Quayle, which I suppose is hitting below the belt a little bit, especially if you happen to be Dan Quayle. But, you know, and all kidding aside, we're human beings. We all do the same human things. And we all have things that we don't want people to know about, even though we all do the same things. You know what I mean? Well, you should know especially, Spiny.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
You don't know that, do you?
Actually, I know more than you think I know. But the point is... it's a fine cast of people here at the radio station, fine cast of characters that we truck in every week for this radio program. And we're going to be, of course, taking phone calls from the fine cast of people that aren't inside the radio station, that are kept out in the streets. And those are you, the listeners. And, you know, it's also something interesting because there are a number of radio stations that have call-in programs. And nearly all of them have a problem. Of course, we have problems, too. But I'm saying nearly all of them have a particular problem that we do not have here at this particular radio station. And it's something that I think we should explore just a little bit.
And that would be
the fact that when you call us at 632-6901, you will never get hung up on. And what I mean by that is, if you call these other radio stations, eventually, after, say, maybe about 40 rings, the phone company disconnects you.
Why is that, Eric?
Because, I will tell you, Spiny, that you've had that name all your life, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Okay, no, it's a fine.
Ever since this thing on my back.
I'm into cultural diversity of all sorts. Mm-hmm. Is that Spiny with an E or without an E?
That is with an E, because okay. It's a Galtinian name.
Galtinian?
Yes. Family descended from Galta. But anyway...
Well, that's very nice. But, yes, as far as the telephone thing goes, the phone company has figured that since they now have the ability to put little timers or whatever on rings... So that's the technical term. I can speak a little bit less technically if people want that. But since they can do it, they are doing it. And basically, if you call using a long-distance carrier someplace, if you call California, you will get a recording from AT&T or MCI, whatever company you happen to use, after a couple of minutes saying, do-do-do, the number you have dialed is not answering. Please try your call again later. You also get that if you happen to stay on for a busy signal for a particularly long period of time.
Now, also long-distance or anywhere?
That's long-distance, but... If you happen to somehow get around the long-distance company's limitation, which is only about 2 minutes, and you call locally, well, the local switch, in other words, the thing that generates the ring, you know, the actual phone company, you know, the thing that gives you the dial tone, well, on the receiving end, on the end that you are calling, they now have a limit too, and that limit is about 5 minutes. So most other radio stations... will allow you to ring for about... I mean, it's other radio stations. They have nothing to do with it. It's a phone company. But for 5 minutes, you will be able to ring and ring and ring and ring and ring, and then you'll just hear a click, and you'll be hung up upon. You have to start all over again. You've gotten absolutely nowhere. You've wasted your time. You're getting angry. You've probably lost your place in line. You probably can't even get through at all. You'll get a busy signal. And, I mean, this has led to people dressing up in army fatigues. Now, it hasn't led to any shootings yet, but the people have gotten dressed, and that's usually the first step.
Then get a job at the postal service.
Well, I don't quite know exactly where they're going to go after that. But, yeah, the postal is probably the next step, and then after that, who knows. Here at the radio station, we don't know why this is. Probably because it's coming through the Rome system here on campus, which this is the first good thing I've ever had to say about that system. But it doesn't have a timeout. So you are assured of calling in. And, yeah, you know, we get calls from people and say, hey, you know, man, I've been on here now for about, 25 minutes. What's your problem? Why don't you pick up the phone? Well, okay, we'd like to pick up the phone. In fact, we're probably going to pick up the phone right now. But... we can't pick up all the phone lines at once. You see, that's a limitation we have. So since we cannot do that, people have to wait. But you can wait. You just, you know, put the phone on speakerphone or whatever. Or you put the phone down the other side of the room, walk around the house, do whatever you have to do, your normal daily routines at, you know, 12, 18 in the morning. And you simply, when you hear some dead air and you hear me saying, hello, is anybody there? Figure that's you. And you run back over to the phone and you start talking. You know, it's as simple as that. It's sort of, you know, just an adjustment in the way you do things. But
an extra beauty of it is you're not being paid. I mean, you're not paying for waiting.
You're certainly not being paid.
But you're not paying for waiting. Like, if they other radio stations pick you up and mm-hmm. put you on hold, mm-hmm. you got to pay for that.
That's right.
This is totally free.
We could do that. We could put you on hold, but then you'd be paying. I mean, you know, for a lot of people, it's only 10 cents or something. They have untimed message units or whatever. But still, you know. You're not getting anything, so why not just allow the thing to ring? And you know, those of you that feel sorry for the phone company, don't. I mean, that's my general rule of thumb. Because you ringing the phone, it's not costing anybody anything. So don't worry about that. You know, I'll tell you some other things, too. You know, they have these new services, call return and all that. Do you know, I don't know if you watch these...
all those star functions?
Yeah, the Star 6-9 and all that business.
Jazz.
Well, now, if you watch it on TV, you have to, like, have a camcorder, not a camcorder, a VCR to do this.
Slow down the fine print.
Well, you have to freeze it because it's only a single frame of fine print here. But it says there that when you use *69 to call return, call somebody back that's just called you. No, I'm sorry, not *69, repeat call, which is *66. That's right. If you call somebody and it's busy. They have this little animated thing now, you know, don't get the busy signal and, you know, you'll get through no matter what. All right, so you get a busy signal, you dial *66. It says little tiny print, a 75-cent charge applies regardless of whether or not the call is completed. So all you have to do is pick up the phone and dial *66 or 1166 if you don't have touchtone. And if you decide, you know, not to place this call and you cancel it using *86 or 1186, or if half hour goes by and the phone is still busy and you never get that special ring back, then you still have to pay 75 cents for doing that, just for dialing *66. Now, do you honestly think it costs the phone company 75 cents for you to dial *66? Look, I'm going to pick up our phone here. There. I dialed *66. Okay, I get a siren. I suppose I've now started a chain of events that's gonna wind up in, like, the building being surrounded or something like that. *66 doesn't do anything. It's a sequence of numbers.
The building is already surrounded.
Well, okay, they move at lightning speed in the digital age.
No, I think it was because of your guest.
He's not here. No, he's on the phone.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it was a mix.
Haven't been listening,
somewhere.
Have you? No.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I know. We've got sent out the press releases again, and I guess we didn't specify that he's on the phone. But, no, Dan Quayle's not here. If you're driving down to the studio to meet Dan Quayle, please turn around and go back because he's not here. He's going to be on the phone. So that's going to be fun later on. So we have a couple of little news things. Did you see this thing in today's Newsday? Front page story. Did you see this? Daytime TV horror. What a daytime TV horror show. Now, I never watch daytime TV. I don't. I believe it's viral, I guess is the appropriate word to use. Do you ever watch daytime TV?
No, it's quite insipid.
Yeah, it is very insipid.
A tad vapid, too.
In fact, Oprah is doing a show on daytime TV and its victims. I'm not kidding. She's got these people that watch TV all the time, right, that, like, stare at the thing. And, you know, they just have, like, TV eyes, what they call it, you know, where it's just, like, your eyes just sort of stays open, and it's kind of glassy, and you have to, like, inject it with, put eye drop type things in there because you can't blink because you're afraid you might miss something good.
That's vicious, though, that she's doing that.
Yeah. And
these people won't be able to see themselves on TV.
Well, no, they will. Of course they will.
How? Oh, it's pre-taped? Is that what you're saying?
I think Oprah's pre-taped. I'm pretty sure. But anyway, regardless, I mean, well, people on Oprah have to be able to see themselves somehow. But the point is that, you know, they are addressing the problem. They are, you know, talking about it at least. And they're going to, you know, have people there that you can see. You can actually watch and see the effects of watching things in the daytime on TV. But anyway.
Usually you'd have to consult the mirror, but
One of these shows is called Home. You know, I don't know. They really spare no effort in making titles for these shows. Home. what else could you? I mean, with a name like that, Don, I can't think of anything else. What else would you call TV? That's a good name for a show, huh? Television,
Home.
TV, or this channel, or this show. You know, Thank you for tuning into this show. Please listen tomorrow to this show. I think we're going to rename Brain Damage to this show. Or this fine show, or this old show, or whatever, you know? But, I mean, that's why they pay people there so well, because they think better than we do. I mean, Brain Damage, you know how much time it took to think of that?
Go ahead.
Actually, there was a doctor that suggested it.
Really?
Yeah. At the time, I was going through some... Well, I can tell you after the show, but the point is, you know, it's... we don't nearly do things as well as they do on daytime TV. But anyway, there is this TV program called Home, and the co-hosts, for some God knows why reason, were getting shots. I guess it was for influenza or something like that. Flu vaccination. This happened yesterday. This happened on Friday morning, I guess. And the two hosts, Sarah Purcell and Gary Collins, were getting shots live on the air. Live.
Oh.
Live TV.
My gosh.
And they're getting these injections, you know, stabbed in the arm, right live there on TV for influenza. I guess to show the rest of America that, you know, there's nothing to fear. And, well, unwittingly, the doctor who did this I guess, you know, you're kind of nervous when you're on TV and have the spotlights on you, and you know that millions of people are watching. I mean, you know, we're professionals here. We know millions of people are listening, and we don't really care. Well, I don't want to sound hostile, but we just don't care because we're not capable of caring. But these people obviously are. I mean, at least the doctor was, and he got nervous. And, you know, what would you do? You have these two needles, right, next to each other. You either take the one you're supposed to take or you take the one you're not supposed to take. And he made the choice of taking the one he wasn't supposed to take. And he injected Sarah Purcell with the needle that had already entered the system of Gary Collins. Now, what that in effect does is give Sarah Purcell the chance of, you know, getting free of charge any of the diseases that Gary Collins has running around his blood, because, you know, obviously you're not supposed to share needles. So, you know, if, say, the two of them did drugs together and they shared hypodermic needles, there would still be a risk of transmitting diseases and things like that, you know? So, you know, this actually is a very good way to demonstrate how things like this can happen, especially if you do it on live TV. So now the doctor realized his mistake, and basically this is what he said, okay, on live TV. And he realized that he had injected the person with not an infected needle, but a needle that had already been used. I gave you an injection, he said, and I don't want this on television. It's live on TV. There's nothing you can do about it. And Sarah Purcell said, well, it's too late now. And to go into the Newsday story, he then explained that that he had given her the wrong needle. And he said, I'm going to be on the national news. But what's worse, I'm probably going to be on brain damage. And it's true. And Purcell said, this is a joke, isn't it? As she began to panic and lose her cool, and her mascara began to run down the sides of her face like so much muddy water. And he said, no, this isn't a joke. This is your appointment with destiny. And then, get this, Collins tries to comfort Gilbert, the doctor, okay? And they try to calm him down as the producers just sort of segged into a commercial. You know, nice smooth segue into a commercial.
Calm who down? The doctor?
Well, you know, the doctor basically has just committed malpractice on the air in front of millions of people. I'd be kind of concerned about that, too, and I certainly wouldn't want him to be, injecting me with anything. If anybody out there, I guess, you know, this is a shameless appeal for help, but if anybody out there has a videotape of this, I'd sure love to see it. I mean, wouldn't you love to see that? That's better than the guy at the press conference, like, shooting himself. Remember that?
Yeah, I have that on tape.
You have that on tape. Yeah. I figured you have. I can't bring myself to watch that. I just can't.
I have a whole sicko tape.
Yeah, there's these sicko tapes going on. What else is on that sicko tape?
Oh,
say on the air.
People jumping off buildings, committing suicide.
You have that one of the tightrope walker in Brazil or something for
me? Don't have that. I got monks setting themselves on fire.
Because I can get you that in exchange for, like, a max headroom or something.
Why would I want a max headroom?
Well, that's not the point. No, if you have a max headroom, I know somebody that can get you that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, this is called internet trading. People on the net sort of trade.
I got, remember the Twilight Zone fiasco?
With the helicopter chopping off the heads.
I got the other angle of that.
What do you mean the other angle? The helicopter pilot's angle? Or?
No, there was a different angle. Oh, I got helicopter crashes when news cameramen were inside the helicopter, and you see the last thing they saw. This is quite wacky stuff.
Boy, you really are you a video connoisseur, I suppose.
Yeah, well, this stuff is from Japan, and they show this stuff unedited.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I got Bush throwing up all over the Japanese
guy. You got the unedited Bush
version of that.
Okay.
About 5 minutes of Bush yakking away all over this guy's trousers, man. It was great.
Yakking away is the term.
Yeah, well, actually, there's a new term now for throwing up
in
Japan. It's Bushuru.
You're,
it's an actual word. Made from Bush's name now.
It's one of that late night humor, right?
No, it's an actual one.
Really? You got this straight from Japan?
Yep.
Well, how about that? I had an exciting week. Mm-hmm. I had an exciting week. I went to the city this week. And you know what? I'm always complaining about not being a part of things, but I got called in for jury duty. Well, guess who? Guess who? I'm proud as punch, I guess, is the word about this. But guess who got selected to be on the World Trade Center jury? you know, to judge the terrorists that supposedly...
Get out, you did.
Yeah, and it's really cool because I'm supposedly going to be sitting in judgment of these people, and I get to decide whether or not they, you know, they rot in prison or whether or not they walk and possibly terrorize people again. Now, you see, the thing is, they've been very fussy about this. Now, they had a woman there that was in the actual explosion, and they said, you know, well, you might be biased. And they found this guy, this a farmer from Ohio, and they found out that he, like, read a newspaper every day, so they figured, no, that's no good either. He probably knows something about it. And they're basically looking for somebody that, you know, didn't really know anything about the story or follow it. And, you know, I just basically acted the way I do here, and I'm in, man. I'm in.
Did you use your real name?
Of course. I'm, you know, and... it's very prestigious, I understand. They say that, you know, that... Well, I can tell you everything right here. They say...
You can't tell anything.
Well, I'm not supposed to talk about the case.
Oh, I see.
Oh, no, you're right. I'm not supposed to talk about this at all. Uh-oh. okay, yeah, I'm not supposed to talk about this at all. I guess I'm not supposed to say that I'm actually on the jury. Oh, maybe I shouldn't be on... I guess I can't get out of it now. Uh-oh. Well, you know, gosh.
Can you describe what the court looks like?
Yeah, sure. It's a beautiful building. It's, you know, it's just been painted. The floors are waxed every day.
Huh.
It's very slippery, in fact. People.
It's like dark wood?
Elderly citizens constantly fall down. It's kind of a, it's marble. A lot of marble.
Marble, yeah.
Yeah.
Reminiscent of, like, Times Square.
Well, you don't want to get into a fight in that building. You don't want to get into a fight because obviously someone's going to slam your head into the wall. Mm. And then, you know, a marble wall. I mean, as far as getting your head slammed into walls... My preference is, you know, the usual plasterboard that usually can go through.
Now, you're getting paid for jury duty, right?
Yeah, I was, anyway, before I blew it.
How'd you blow it?
Well, I think by talking about being on the hottest trial in the world history or something like that.
Ah, go on, they won't say anything.
They really liked me, too. I was the only one they selected.
You were the only one they selected?
So far. They said they needed 11 more people like me.
Oh, that's just what the world really needs. 11 more people like you.
12 more people like me. I don't know. But, yeah, that's part of my week. And, you know, I also walked around the city. This all happened in the course of an hour. Just, you know, walked in. Because you can volunteer. You know, you just sort of, like, walk into buildings
and
say,
hey.
Wait,
you volunteered for jury
duty? I just said, hey, do you need any help? Because I heard that, you know, they were having trouble selecting people. And they, you know, asked me a couple of questions and... Basically asked if I knew where the World Trade Center was, and I my sense of direction is awful. I just knew it was somewhere around.
You had a point, or?
A what?
Did you have to point? Did you know where it is? Or
no,
was
they
like
just
a state good enough for them.
They just asked me, and I said, not really. Huh. And that seemed to be the right answer.
Huh.
So anyway, if anybody else wants to be part of it, we can have fun. You know, we can all go down there and they sequester you, you know, in hotels, and you can order food and watch cable TV. You're not supposed to watch the news. Well, that's not a problem because. You know, if you watch most cable TV channels, you won't get any sense of what's happening.
Yeah.
And you could just sort of, you know, hang out in the room and you know, eat pretzels and things like that and order pizza. As long as you don't order newspapers, it's fine. And just basically hang out, you know. And then it's just it's a formality. Is it guilty? Is it not guilty people? And you just sort of, you know, you decide, guilty or not guilty.
That's at the end. I mean, but you can
party. That's at the end, right.
Now,
you can hang out for, I say hang out, because party sort of implies that you're not, you know, you're being irresponsible. But, you know, hanging out, everybody hangs out. So you hang out in this hotel for a while, and, yeah.
You can't leave the hotel, though, can you?
You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to, although you can use the sauna and the pool, which is inside the hotel. Yeah. They don't want any contact with the outside world, which, you know, suits me fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anybody interested in doing that, feel free.
I suppose you can't make it. Like, can I go in your place and say,
sure.
Sorry, Eric couldn't make
sure.
It?
Sure. As long as I have a note, as long as you have a note from me.
Great.
Saying that that's okay.
But that doesn't give me sauna rights and all that stuff.
No, it gives you full rights. Full rights. You can do everything I could do.
Man.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're not feeling well one day.
Yeah. Well, no, the thing is they're going to sequester me, which means I can't leave until it's over, so I'll probably be gone for several months.
Oh.
Yeah, but that's, it's sort of like a vacation. That's what, you know.
Can I visit you?
Being on a jury for a terrorist trial is. Yeah, I guess. Well, I don't think so. No, I'm supposed to be, you know, sequestered. You know, sequestered, it means not being able to do things like that. That's what it means.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's what it means.
You're good with words.
Well, words are good. They're very useful in helping you out to explain what you mean.
Words are a good thing.
Yeah, I like words. I'm sorry, Jim, you have something to say? What do you think about words? You like
yes
words?
And no.
Okay. Well, those are two words. Actually, maybe even three words. But it's a good point. Good point, because it could go either way.
Mm.
It could go either way. Look at that smile on his face. I'd let Jim say more, but, you know, he always puts his foot in his mouth. I mean, that's an insult. I'm sorry, Jim. But, I mean, you know, he always kind of goes on and on and on and on and on and sort of winds up insulting all sides of the coin. I mean, no hard feelings, right, Jim? I mean, you understand.
I'm not sure.
All right. All right, well, we'll talk about it. Here's something. Pine Ridge, South Dakota. A new... Listen to this, Smiley. Listen to this.
Sorry.
This is important.
Let me put this down.
A new Indian Health Service hospital was all set to open in November until officials discovered they had neglected to include a telephone system. So now they're going to be delaying the opening for 3 months while they take bids for a phone system and they award a contract and they install the phones. can you imagine forgetting something like that?
This is in India, you said?
No, this is in South Dakota, an Indian health service, you know, Native American type of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There they go, getting the short end of the stick again.
I would call information to find out what their phone number is and talk to them about this, but somehow I don't think it's going to work. No siree, Bob.
So Bob's your uncle.
Yes. Okay, we've got some other things, but you want to take some calls?
You can. I'm sorry.
Well,
over here.
Let's see who's out there. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on. Who are you? Anybody there?
Okay. Are we getting a fax?
You know, I wish I knew touch tones because I could tell what that is. Good evening. Is anybody there?
Eric.
Yeah.
Awesome.
How you doing?
Hey, man.
Hi,
welcome
awesome.
Back.
You're awesome, I guess. Is that your name?
No. My name is Jeff. I wasn't here last week, but
Jeff,
I heard
awesome.
You know, you returned.
Yeah, I was back.
First of all, I got to say, it is so totally unbelievably effing awesome that you are on the World Trade Center jury.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was kind of an honor myself, and there was all these, you know, photographers and nice people with ties that shook my hand and everything like that. It's really, it could be the start of something big.
Are you telling me, Eric, did I get this right? Are you saying that they did not, you didn't get a thing in the mail, they just called?
No, we walked right in off the street. You know, it's a new way of, like, getting people to sort of volunteer their service as part of Clinton's, like, volunteer plan. And you just walk in, you know, and say, hey, you need any help today? And they said, yeah.
All right, no, okay.
Matter of fact, we need a lot of help because all these people seem to be reading papers and getting into trouble.
All right, no, wait. I know you're being, not coy.
I'm being not cool?
I'm saying, let me just develop
not corduroy.
The point.
Not corduroy.
Oh, no. Let me say the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Start from the beginning.
Okay, I'll start from the beginning. They asked you more than just, do you know where the World Trade Center is, right?
Well, they asked me certain, like, questions and things like that.
Could you share with us, like, the questions they asked?
They wanted to know, like, you know, was I a National League fan, American League fan? Did I... you know, did I stand up when the Pledge of Allegiance is said? What they asked me what radio stations I listened to, and I did tell them. I did say USB, gave us some free publicity there.
Yeah.
They asked me what TV stations I watched, and, you know, I said I watch a little bit of public TV, but not enough to, like, get cocky.
Right.
And, you know...
What magazines you subscribe to?
Well, I did get asked that question. I sort of danced around it a little bit.
You didn't tell them about Soldier Fortune, then, huh?
Well, I didn't tell them about, you know, the really racy stuff. But I didn't say Time and Newsweek. You don't want to say that because that implies that, well, you know, you know the current events and they don't want that.
Or Eric, or like 2600.
Jack and Jill. It's not 2600 because they wouldn't want that. But Jack and Jill and Highlights are the two magazines that I always say that I read, and that usually gets me into anything.
And Alfred E. Newman. Listen,
No, don't do that. Don't say Mad Magazine.
Let me just say
don't
for my friend, Alfred E. Newman. Okay, also, I want to say this.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I ask you another topic? Can I change topics?
You can ask me another question. You can't ask me a topic, though.
Can I ask you about another topic? Okay, 800 numbers. I was the guy who called you up on your answering machine. Did you get my message, Eric? I was saying that I had this 800 number, and I heard about, you know, can you avoid... In other words, if it's normally a 900 number, what if you got get an 800... First of all, if this question is taboo for the year, I understand.
No, go ahead and ask the question.
Have this number where it's an 800 number and you're getting through to a 900 number and you get a recording in the beginning which saying there's a charge of $20, but then you don't have to push any touch tones and no keys, and then 15 seconds later it says someone will come on, and sure enough someone comes on. Now can they ever catch and make you culpable for this call?
Well, okay, I can tell you some history as far as that goes.
Yeah.
There was I think it was a USA Today.
Let me just say, last thing. My defense, of course, would be the phone company. Hey, I'm an American, and in America, an 800 call is by definition.
Absolutely. Now, USA Today had a number, still has a number, 900-555-5555. And somehow the routing got messed up. And if you dialed 800-555-5555, you got connected to 900-555-5555. And they charged everybody that called the 800 number for the 900 number. And, of course, that causes tremendous outroar from the people that called it, saying, well, I called an 800 number. And USA Today's defense was that, or actually, I think AT&T actually routed the call, and they might have been in charge of the billing. But they said that the person heard the announcement of the price, so therefore they were responsible for it. I don't think that carried over, though. I don't think that stood up in court. They said it, and they will believe that. Now, you see, when you call an 800 number, your number is transmitted through. Now, your defense, and this is what I recommend to you, if you want to call an 800 number and not have your number be transmitted,
ask the operator.
Call the operator and go through the operator because your number won't be transmitted then.
Are you sure? Someone told me that it would even they could get it. I mean, I asked, not someone, I asked the operator, you know, as a Joe Q citizen, I said, if I go through you, will they be able to get my number? And she says, yes, they can get it anyway. That's what she said. Is she lying?
If you call which...
I called the operator and asked her, hey, by the way, if I guess you dial this 800 number, can they ever get the number from you, as opposed to if I dial it directly? And she said they can get it either way.
Right now they can't get it that way.
Okay.
It's likely that they'll be able to have that technology soon.
Right.
But on their bill and on their equipment, they'll just see a bunch of zeros or something like that. Now, that can't happen. If you call a 900 number, that's a billable number. So, obviously,
right.
What's known as the A&I information has to be passed along. So, yeah, you're going to get billed for that either way because it's a billable number. But 800s aren't. And
some of that, my defense is going to have to be, it's like, in the case of the, what was that example you gave? What company was that?
USA Today.
Yeah, that was an honest mistake, right?
Where
the technology was, I mean, in my case, it's more like, I know this number because they'll say, well, some people were, you people were all ill-trans, trafficking illegal 800 numbers.
Well, there's no such thing as an illegal 800 number. You can call any 800 number there is.
Okay.
The thing is, though, if you keep calling it repeatedly, obviously you're charging the people for the equivalent of a collect call. But if you call an 800 number and you're talking to a computer or whatever and it doesn't say that you're doing anything wrong, you're not doing anything wrong. And if they happen to connect you to something that costs money if you call it a different way, sorry, that's they shouldn't do that.
But the recording, Eric, also does say you will be charged $20.
Well, they cannot charge you on an 800 number, but that's not to say. That's not to say that they won't try. There are some services where if you call an 800 number, it will call you back collect.
That's
sleazy. It's a very sleazy way to get money out of people. But, you call an 800. It's the way it's to get around the 900 restriction, which a lot of people have.
Right. That's a whole different can of worms.
Whole different can of worms. Right. So, this is a possibility.
I'm going to be at some point down the road facing the pressure of these people saying to me, hey, you owe us money. And I'm going to say, well, hey, Mr. Dumb Innocent,
right.
Naive Innocent. And I'm going to have to say, excuse me, I thought 800 numbers were free. And they'll say, well, didn't you hear the recording where you said it cost $20? And what am I going to say then? No?
Well, if you heard the recording, yeah, you'll have to think of an answer to get out of that one.
What would the answer be, Eric?
If I were you, I would just say, look, it's an 800 number. You can't charge somebody. Now, there's 800 numbers that take credit cards, but entering the credit card number is something that...
It's a different can of worms. Right,
it's a different can of worms. I mean, you don't know. You do not know who called that 800 number, right? It could have been your 3-year-old niece. Could have been anything. And the point is, without having to enter any more information, just calling an 800 number and being charged for that, I mean, that's insane. You should have blocking, 900 blocking. You should have all your credit cards protected. You should be taking precautions. And if calling an 800 number amounts in a bill, then obviously they're doing something wrong, not you. You've taken all the precautions. You understand?
Well, I think we've covered this thoroughly, and I'll definitely call it. Did you get my messages on your machine?
I'm not sure if I actually heard that one. Was this recently, or?
I asked, in the past week, I called like 4 or 5 times, yeah. Well, anyway, I'll be in touch with you in the future, Eric, about it.
Okay.
Okay,
all right,
man.
Thanks. I never listened to my machine. Do you listen to your machine?
What?
I listen to your machine.
I listen to yours, actually, but...
Oh, you listen to mine.
Yeah, I heard him.
All right, so if you want to leave a message for Spiny, call me. And, no, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and if you want to leave a message for me, call Spiny, but don't call me if you want to talk to me.
By the way, can I change your outgoing message?
I thought that was your outgoing message that you changed.
Anyway.
All right, so shall we take another call? All right, studio audience seems to think that we should, so let's go to another call. Good evening.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Eric.
How you doing?
I don't understand something.
Well, a lot of us don't understand things, but it's okay. It's nothing to be ashamed of.
Yes, well, you see, it's weird.
Lots of things are weird, too.
Oh, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks, yeah.
I was listening to Brain Damage, and there was another guy on it. His name was Matt.
Yeah, that was Matt, but you see, at the end of that show, Matt told the audience to stuff it, so that means, according to FCC regulation, what is it, 103?
103-A, because there's a series of...
Okay, 103-A, I'm told. He is exiled from the audience until further notice.
Oh.
Yeah, you can't, you know, by saying stuff it myself, I'm not telling the audience to stuff it, but he told the audience to stuff it at the end of the show, and that's taboo around here, you know?
Oh, yeah, I see he's been a naughty boy.
You could say it that way. That's a nicer way to say it. It's certainly nicer than the way the FCC phrased it.
I know. I wouldn't say anything more than that over the air.
Yeah. You're not supposed to.
Yeah, I know.
You're really not supposed to.
Anyway.
I mean, William Burroughs can get away with it, but...
Hemingway.
Hemingway can get away, but he didn't say anything.
I put the kids in Hemingway.
I was listening a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was listening a few weeks ago, and I heard there was a guy, and his name was Toasty McDope.
Uh-huh.
I think I remember you called up. And you were in Wyoming.
I was in Wyoming. I was in the town of Buffalo, Wyoming, at a fast food restaurant, which I declined to say the name of.
Oh.
But I remember the conversation as if I was there. Yeah, I do remember that.
Beginning.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, it was in the beginning.
Yeah.
The show, and I remember it went for a very long, long time.
Long, long time, huh?
Yeah, long, long time.
Well, gosh, there's nothing I can do about it now, you know.
Yeah, so I guess you were on jury duty?
No. I just applied for you know, to be... I just walked into the jury building in Manhattan and just, you know, said, hey, can I help out? And they said, sure, be on the World Trade Center trial. But I think I blew it tonight by telling everybody about it.
Well,
I didn't see on the piece of... I should have read everything.
Out.
I'm sorry?
I don't think anyone's going to tell on you. I mean, if they do, that's very low of them.
Right. Well, I mean, the USB audience is usually very good at keeping secrets. I mean, we were able to keep that whole, you know, tax embezzlement thing of 1973 a secret. And, you know, other things like that, we've been able to kind of keep quiet for a while. I mean, you know, we had various, you know, terrorist sympathizers that were doing overnight shows here. But, you know, we needed to do that because otherwise we would have to go off the air at night, and we literally need to have people on at all times, and we'll, you know, we'll take anybody, really, anybody.
So,
I mean, you know,
if you do
anybody.
Get on the jury, will you stay there for a long time?
Well, I'm hoping for several months because, you know, it's good to get away.
And, like, learn and broaden your horizons about interesting things like this.
Right, interesting things. Although they say they don't want you to retain too much information. I think what they mean by that is they don't want you to walk around thinking that you know things now. They don't certainly want you talking about things to people.
Yeah.
And they don't want you to remember any of it. So it's basically just sort of like you're going into isolation for several weeks. You know, kind of like those people that went into that place. You know, like, what is that? That environment thing that they're going out of soon?
Oh, the biosphere.
The biosphere, right. Now, are they leaving that in the next day, I think?
I think they are going to leave it. I thought they were having some kind of difficulty.
Well, they were supposed to be there.
I didn't hear much about it. I only heard a little.
Well, they were supposed to be there for 2 years, and I think they've only been there for a couple of months.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So, I don't know. It must be run by NASA or something. But, yeah, so it's kind of like that. You're in isolation for a little while, and then you're not. You know, it could happen to anybody.
Yeah, I know. It's very scientific that they're in this man-made environment.
We have news on the biosphere. What do you got?
It's not exactly.
Okay, we have a newscaster that's walking off the street. Do you want to read it? I can't read that. Look at all the type. Oh, this is awful. Why does our typewriter do that?
What does it do? Cut off the top?
It cuts off just about every part of the letter here. Which one is it?
Right, you fold it in
half. Top one there. Okay, here we go. After spending... Oh, they were there for 2 years. You know, time really flies. I thought they just got in there. After spending 2 years in a sealed environment, the eight-person crew of the experimental Biosphere 2 project are preparing for their planned exit on Sunday. One crew member said in a telephone interview Saturday that they're doing some last-minute cleaning. Sally Silverstone says the crew members have a lot of mixed feelings about leaving. Four men and four women and a new baby have lived in some... I'm only kidding about that. But who knows? Who knows what's going to come out of this? Have lived inside the three-acre terrarium. I'm not illiterate here. It's just very hard to read when you can see about a third of the letters. A terrarium-like glass and steel structure in the desert north of Tucson, Arizona, since September 26, 1991. Let's see... backers and some outside scientists say the experiment succeeded in its main mission, but the privately financed project also has been accused of hucksterism, scientific amateurism and deception. Hucksterism.
Interesting.
Hucksterism. I mean,
weird.
I don't even know what hucksterism means. How can you be accused of hucksterism? What is that?
I don't know. These $5 words, they just come up and they hit you in the face.
It sounds like something, something that a cowboy would be accused of.
I see what you're saying. I don't understand how people, they could live on 3 acres for 2 years and not leave and not have, the modern manufacturing little toys that we have.
Yeah, but you see, there's people in Midtown Manhattan that live in a little condo or something, and maybe they go downstairs and walk the dog or something like that, but that's it, and then they come back and that's a lot less than 3 acres.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It certainly doesn't even include the mule.
I like to travel around and get myself out.
Uh-huh.
And, that's good.
Right, it is good. I agree. But, it's sort of like the holodeck, right? Because that's only a room, all right? But you get to go everywhere. You get to play with gangsters and walk in beaches and things like that because they have these mirrors. I'm not quite sure how it technically works, but they have mirrors and things like that. And it makes it seem like you're going miles and miles, but you're actually just staying in one room. You know the holodeck?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, I've never actually been on it, but it's a very interesting scientific advance.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, listen, thanks for calling.
Wait, I have, since you just came back,
yes?
I have a present.
A present?
Matt and I used to play for Matt circus music, and it only takes about 5 seconds.
Circus?
It's really neat.
How do you do this?
I'll put it on, okay? You can listen to it. I'll put it on right now.
You're just going to put circus music on the air.
Is that quick, ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Always ready for circus music. Sounds kind of weak there. All right. Got that one quickly, didn't I? Okay. 12:51 in the morning and 16 degrees. It's a magical temperature, 16 Celsius, which means it's 61 Fahrenheit.
Mm.
It's a palindrome. Palindrome temperature there.
Wait.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
What?
No, it's not.
No. Yeah, it is. 16 and 61. It's a palindrome. Yeah.
The whole thing together is a palindrome.
That's what I mean. I'm talking about merging them together.
Right.
Now, on the USB scale, that's 77 degrees. And that's where you add Celsius and Fahrenheit. That's fairly unique. We've been doing that for years, All right, we're going to take a quick musical break. I can what? Sorry, what was that?
You can add?
I can add.
Ooh.
I can add.
I thought you were on jury duty.
Well, no. I mean, I'm not on jury duty yet. I might never be, but I hope to take part in this responsibility for my country. But yeah, I can add. I'm literate. Wiener's literate too.
Maybe yes, maybe no.
Yeah, he's full functioning neuronet there. All right, let's go to some music, and we'll be back in just a little while. Brain Damage, WUSB, Stony Brook. Well, I don't know why, but that apparently, according to other people here, that song always makes my ears hurt. I don't quite know why that is. I guess because, you know, as a child I played it too loud or something. Must be something like that. But man,
it attacks the central nervous system.
My left ear is really smarting right about now. So, you're standing up now, so I guess you're
out the door.
Out the door, huh?
I don't like your guest.
Oh, yeah, Dan Quayle. I almost forgot about Dan Quayle. We have to get to him in just a little while.
We're politically unaligned.
No, we are politically unaligned. But, you know, I think it's an hour ahead of us in Indiana, something like that. Or it was an hour behind, or I don't know. Whatever it is, a different
time. I would
time.
Say he's behind.
So it's definitely not 12:56 where, I mean, back me up on this, Jim, right? It's not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Jim agrees with us. It's
that could be dangerous.
Yeah, it could be dangerous. You're right, but 12:56 or 57 or whatever, we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about that. We're going to have the news coming up in just a moment. We had a special you know, Elizabeth, the newscaster, never came back after the lizard incident last week.
Well,
she didn't even come back for her check or anything.
Oh, that's good.
Out the door.
I'll take it.
And the lizards are still there, though. It's down in the studio, down the hall, and down the stairs a bit.
Mm. Lettuce.
Yeah.
They like lettuce.
Who likes lettuce?
Lizards.
Oh, yeah, lizards. I thought they meant newscasters.
No, it's spelled with an L.
Yeah, this is Brain Damage, and we're here every Saturday night.
24 hours.
You know what we said on the promos is true, that we're as far away from the end of school as we are from the beginning of school. Because if you say school ends at 3 o'clock on a Friday, and it begins at, say, 9 o'clock on a Monday, the furthest point from both of those points is 12 o'clock on Saturday night.
Hmm.
I bet you didn't know that.
No.
No, we have researchers. We have paid people, Wiener & Associates, our marketing publicity department, that do nothing but sit around all day and think of things like that.
Are they statisticians?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure if they have degrees, but that's not really of interest to me. The important thing is that they get the job done, they do the marketing research, and we keep the Arbitrons up.
Hmm.
We're leading, you know, we're leading in our category. Whatever that might
leading?
Be. Yeah, we're ahead. On the national scale, too.
Good.
Yeah.
Are those them?
What?
The Arbitrons?
No, these are newspaper clippings, but we'll get to those in a little bit.
All right.
Okay. Shall we, I'm at a loss. I don't know where to go next.
It's the green file to the left of you.
The green file to the left? There is no green file. You see, on radio, you can do things like that. You can pretend there's something to the left of you when there isn't. But no, there isn't any green file. Do we have a newscast? Seeing as how it's almost time. It's 12:59 and the news.
Music. Come on.
We just did play some music. We played some Steelers Wheel.
Steelers. Yeah.
Yeah. Stuck in the middle with you.
What? Finish up what? I've been finished for the past 59 minutes.
All right, Spiny, yeah, that's right. He does have a point that he needs a microphone. There is only one microphone in the room, other than the one I'm using, which I have to use, obviously. So, Spiny, we'll see you next week. Get out of here.
Yep.
All right. He's out. News is coming in just a moment. But first, we have something important that we have to do. we have to bring in the appropriate props and everything like that. And this must be... No, that's not it either. Okay, we seem to have lost all of our props. All right, so we can't do that right now. What is this, a newscast with sound effects? Plugging in all these things. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take another call. That way I can look for things and appear to be in control. Good evening.
Hi.
How you doing? Oh, yeah, you weren't on the air. Now you're on the air.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. You're on.
I don't know what to say.
Well, then, call another radio show, please. Good evening. Don't know what to say. Do you know what to say? No, apparently you don't either. Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Do you know what to say?
What?
You have something to say? Do you know what you're going to say?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Excellent.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a few questions.
Ask me a few questions. Go ahead.
Okay. Why? Do you get paid for this?
Do I get paid for this?
Yeah.
Well, you see, there was that whole ugly salary thing. I'm sure you read about it in the papers.
No.
I don't really want to, drag all that out again, about the things with the cars and the, the various fringe benefits that you get working here. Because, look, I think when you do a radio show here, I mean, a sauna is not too much to ask. It's very, very stressful. Am I right? Am I right? Everybody here knows that that's the case. I mean, it's hot in here. It's a lot of pressure, a lot of pressure, because you have millions of people out there. You got millions of people, and you've got to be relaxed. So, yeah, I don't think a sauna was too much. And, yeah, you could say the house was a bit much, too, but come on. You guys got to live someplace, and you want to keep, you want to keep professionals on the air. You got to attract them. You got to, make sure that they stay. So, right now it's kind of up in the air. Haven't gotten a check in a while. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I know what you mean. Yeah, okay. Sounds like you do. Good. How about you? What do you think? Okay. How about you?
Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
Oh. we're experimenting with feedback right now.
Oh.
Yeah. What do you think of that last one? You want to try that again? There you go. That's my voice.
That's really nice. Why am I, like, simultaneous broadcast? Is it?
Simultaneous broadcast.
Yeah.
You mean live?
Yes.
Yeah, because
live. Thank you.
As Teresa Zapolska would say, we're live, live, live. You ever listen to polka? You ever listen to polka music?
What?
Polka.
Polka. Polka.
Yeah.
Polka.
This show, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but this is how we have advertised this particular show and marketed this show. This show really is a polka show. And we don't actually play polka music, but we have the spirit of polka.
Right.
And we wouldn't be here if it weren't for polka. And it's very important for us to realize that and to acknowledge it.
All right. Well, I bow down to your polka to God.
Well, you don't have to bow down to it. You don't have to bow down, but you should stand up and salute it. I think that's only fair. That's the sound of a microphone being moved. Well, I don't know if you could hear that on the phone there.
Oh, I definitely could.
No, so what's on your mind before we go into the news?
Well, nothing much.
Nothing much? Find it hard to believe. There's always something going on. I mean, if I can be selected for the most important trial of the world, I'm sure there's something on your mind as well. Actually, I got selected because there wasn't anything on my mind, but that's beside the point.
Except for polka.
Polka's on your mind?
No, polka's not on my mind.
No, okay. Well, it's not on my mind either. But I do recognize its importance.
Right. Well, I really actually have nothing to say now.
Nothing to say at all.
Just setting, yeah.
Well, in some way, though, I feel the time we spent together has been sort of magical,
Yes,
and I'm glad we were able to have this to one day tell our respective children about.
Well.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for coming.
Thanks for being there.
Coming to the radio station in this particular sense and being a part of this.
All right. You too.
All right.
Bye.
Good night. You realize she said absolutely nothing, but she said it well. She said it very well. Okay, it's 4 minutes. Is the microphone being moved again? It's 4 minutes. 4 minutes late, and we're going to get into the news in just a moment. But first, a very important ritual that we perform every week at this particular point in time. Get ready. The weekly scratching of the blackboard. I like it. I really do. I mean, there's a lot of people out there now that are swerving off the highway and running screaming from the room, but it's power. It's something that is good to exercise occasionally. My ear still hurts from that song. All right, it's 1:05. We have a special remote broadcast now from some. What do we have here? Is it raining? It sounds like it's raining. Oh, listen to that. Yeah, go ahead. We have somebody on the line, and I have a squeaking microphone. Go ahead, wherever you are.
I got the latest news.
All right, you got the latest news. Well, don't get it wet. Just tell us what's going on.
Let's try. Well, fresh off the AP.
That's technical jargon for Associated Press.
Would you like the info on the reuse of that syringe on the home show?
What, you mean there's even more info on that? Okay. Let's.
We have their little explanation here.
Their little explanation. There's no little explanation for infecting people with viruses live on national TV, but let's hear their meager attempt.
Talk show host Gary Collins is being tested for hepatitis. Whoa. Tested for hepatitis and AIDS today to calm his co-host, Sarah Purcell.
There's a leak in this roof. Sorry, go ahead.
Your isn't too strong.
No, let me fix this while you're doing the news.
Okay, Eric. They got tested after they both got flu shots with the same needle by mistake. Dr. Edward Gilbert
up on the table here, the
gave them the shots on today's home show. Listen to this. The show's medical advice.
Eric! Oh, man, don't put all those things up there. Go ahead. Sorry, don't mind me. I'm just trying to cover.
I'm going out of my way here, Eric.
Cover up the leak.
And you're
here.
Fooling around.
You don't want water dropping on a CD player. That's my point here. Go ahead. Don't mind me.
The show's medical advisor, Dr. Art Olin, called Gilbert a decent, caring doctor who was confused by the show's lights, audience, and activity.
All right, let me just step down here for a second and ask a question. How can you be confused by lights? I mean, they're either on off.
I guess this guy...
no confusion. It's one or zero. Binary.
Apparently this
off.
Guy was never on
this guy, the doctor,
on television before.
He's confused by lights? I mean, what's the coronary bypass going to do for this guy? Confused by lights. Come
well,
on.
He says...
You can do better.
He says Purcell's chances of getting a disease from Collins are, quote, infinitesimal. Collins assured Purcell that he'd be tested right away.
Well, we'll have more on that breaking story. I don't know what that meant. We'll keep you updated, is what I'm trying to say.
And I don't want to get into sports, but I just caught this off the AP, and...
That sounds like a sporty thing to do, doesn't it?
But,
was it passed to you, or did you simply...
I would just like to read this first short paragraph. Concerning college football for this weekend. This is from the AP. It was a day that started with a 2-point touchdown, ended with an upset, and had a fistful of fights in between.
Fistful of fights, eh?
Another typical day in college football.
That's
that?
That's the whole thing, huh? Typical, it seems to be
there's
clear
more
out there. Oh, we have some wind now that seems to be prevailing.
Yeah,
where exactly are you, anyway? Standing outside the USB studios, or?
Yeah, it's getting kind of nasty out here.
We haven't used the old satellite uplink in a while.
I think I can hold up for a little while longer.
Don't mind him.
You want me to get to the good stories?
If you must.
Listen to this. In Germany, a truck dumped 6,000 alarm clocks on a highway. Yes, traffic on a busy highway was backed up for hours when an 18-wheeler overturned and dumped 6,000 wind-up alarm clocks on the road. Quote, the worst part was when about half the clock started ringing, said one cop who helped clean up the mess. Quote, it was a real nightmare.
Well, yes, I suppose if you're a cop, a bunch of alarm clocks on the highway is about the worst thing can happen to you.
In other news, in Colombia, officials vowed to take a long, hard look at discipline in the classroom after knife-wielding kindergartners attacked and killed three teachers and a custodian in a rampage that...
Wait. Did you just say knife-wielding kindergartners?
That's what it said.
How many?
Knife-wielding
kindergarten?
Maybe the whole class, I don't know.
Oh, boy. Where is this?
Listen to why they did this. This is in Colombia.
So they canceled Barney or something?
Listen. They killed three teachers and a custodian in a rampage that erupted during an argument over a box of crayons.
Oh, you didn't say that. I thought it was something irrational.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Jim, shut up, all right? We'll get to you later. This is the news. This is serious. Yeah. Is that it?
Jim, get out of my seat. Okay.
Sounds like you're in The Exorcist now or something.
More death to add this week.
This is fair. I like this. I like delving into the world here and learning things. Because we're learning about knife wielding kindergartners.
All across the globe. Watches are happening.
Yeah, even as we speak. And we're not making it up. This is happening all over the place. Could be happening in your hometown.
Oh, this is in Europe. This is in France.
Where's in Europe? Oh, this is a story. Okay, France is a fascinating place.
Europe's oldest circus elephant crushes 13 fans during its final show.
After that wasn't part of what it was supposed to do, now, is it?
I don't think so.
Because that sounds like something that would be put on a billboard, you know, as part of the last show. We're going to crush 13 fans, and you might be one of the unlucky 13, but no?
After more than 45 years of performing, Lulu, the circus elephant, ruined her historic final show. And she charged into the audience and stomped 13 fans to death. Quote, Lulu has always been a perfect animal, says trainer Michael Kearns. This final show was supposed to be in her honor, but for some reason she just went crazy.
Well, the same kind of thing happens at retirement parties, you know? And I think you could find a parallel there between elephants being sent out to pasture and people.
Listen to this. I can't believe these stories.
Yeah. Oh, I believe them. And I think you should, too. And I think everybody should.
Listen to this,
yeah.
Eric.
Yeah.
A one-armed man attacked a one-legged woman.
Well, that's interesting. I'm trying to picture it, but it's interesting.
Continue?
Was it the fugitive or what? Well, she didn't have
a man with one arm
has
been sentenced to 12 years in jail after he viciously assaulted a one-legged woman.
Well, these things will happen, you know.
What else do we have here? No. There are some new studies on earthworms.
Now, that's sobering. I mean, that's brought silence to the entire studio. A new study on earthworms?
Experts say...
Understand the gravity of what we're getting into here.
Experts say they are highly intelligent.
The experts are highly intelligent? I'm sure they'd say that because
they're saying the worms are highly intelligent.
Oh, the worms. All right, the worms are highly intelligent. Okay, then let them do their own study. They don't, you know, need to waste U.S. human taxpayer money.
From a panel of experts,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know who these experts are. It doesn't say. But they are telling us everything we ever wanted to know about earthworms and more. Everything you were afraid to ask.
I'm not afraid to ask anything about earthworms, all right? I'm not. I mean, you give me a question
about
earthworms.
What would you like to ask them?
Well, the question is, I don't really want to ask anything about earthworms. I mean, come on, they're worms, for God's sake. You cut them into two, and there's two worms. I mean, it's not exactly...
But they make the soil rich and moist.
Yeah, great. They make the soil rich and moist. Well, rich and moist soil is another thing that bores me. Look, I mean, I might have a bunch of intelligent earthworms now that are out to get me, but I'm going
to
sleep tonight.
Listen to these astonishing facts, Eric.
All right. But Harvey
Keitel
is going
on
to
it.
Scream a little bit.
Earthworms are fiercely protective of their young. In controlled environments, adults have been known to sacrifice themselves to save babies from attack.
You're telling me that there's earthworms out there sacrificing themselves for little baby earthworms? That's what I'm supposed to picture
I guess they have some
in
kind
my
of
mind
ritual.
Here. Some earthworm throwing herself in front of a train or something to save a little baby squiggling maggot type of thing. Sure, why not? I'm open-minded. I'll believe that.
Also,
yeah.
Earthworms communicate with one another by releasing at least three different scents, indicating the discovery of food sources, moisture, and danger.
What do you think an earthworm thinks is danger? What's danger to an earthworm?
Feet.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're coming down on you. How are you going to send a Morse code message to somebody or whatever and t- tell them that a foot is coming down. It's going to be, I don't know.
I guess that's a problem.
Obviously, this is something that needs more study, and I think we should allocate more funds to it. Yeah. Are they still working on the roof out there? I guess they are.
But wait, there's more.
Uh-huh.
One more fact about earthworms.
Better hurry up before they start tearing down the house.
Earthworms are smart. As I was saying. Like mice
and rats. You're
still on
the earthworm thing. Okay, go ahead.
They like to they're emphasizing here how smart they really are. But anyway, earthworms are smart. Like mice and rats, they have shown an amazing ability to negotiate complex mazes for the reward of food. But that.
Well, there's nothing more exciting than seeing an earthworm negotiate a maze and get food in the end. Nothing more touching. Bring tears to your eyes to see an earthworm happily.
I mean, this should be televised.
Salivating over whatever he gets at the end. Yeah, should be televised. That's a good point. That's the news, eh? That's everything?
That's pretty much up to date on all the top stories.
All right. Well, thanks for stepping in and filling us in on all that kind of thing.
Thank you, Eric.
Hey, no problem. Wow, I feel enlightened. I feel enriched. I don't know what I feel. I feel like informed, yes, definitely. I need to slow down just a little. Yes. Much better. Much better.
Hello.
It's 17 minutes after 1 o'clock. This is Brain Damage.
This is the typical white person's concept of how we relax colored people at parties. Yeah, it's a hell of a spread. They really know how to put out these people.
Very nice.
Very beautiful. I didn't get your name.
Miller.
Miller, man. Mr. Miller.
Nice to meet you.
I never saw you around this neighborhood. You live around here?
Yeah, on the other side.
Oh, okay. Just wondering about that. Hey, Joe Lewis, a hell of a fighter.
Yeah.
Hell of a... Now to be another Joe Lewis. You got a cigarette on you?
Yeah.
The one you're smoking? All right, I'll put that off. Here you go. You know, I don't know these people too well. Are you familiar with them?
No, that's quite a...
I don't know if they're, I think they're heaps. You're not Jewish, are you? No offense. Some of my best friends are Jews. We have over the house for dinner. They're all right, you know. Some sheenies are no good, but you seem like a white Jew. Yeah. At Bojangles, Christ, could he tap dance?
Oh, okay.
You tap dance all yourself, huh?
Yeah.
All you people can tap dance, I guess. You people have a natural sense of rhythm. What's that? Born right in you, I guess, huh? Yeah, bye. It's causing all the trouble in the world. Everybody, here's the Joe Lewis. Joe Lewis was a guy who, the way I figured, he was a guy who just knew when to get in there and get out of there. It's more than I can say for a lot of you niggas. I had a few before on the way over here. You know, you're all right. You're a good boy. Did you have anything to eat yet?
No, I haven't.
If there's any watermelon left, fried chicken or dice or raisins, but we'll see if we can fix you up or something. I want to have you over to the house, but I got a bit of a problem now, and I don't want you to think I'm out of line, but I got a sister. And I hear that you guys... No, it's my sister, and... Well, I'll put it to you a different way. You wouldn't want no Jew doing it to your sister, would you? That's the way I feel. You know? I don't want no coon doing it to my sister. That ain't you, and no offense, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
And as far as my sister's concerned, shake hands on you. Won't do it to her? No. I hear you got some perfume you put on them and make you do it to her. Yeah, don't do it to her. Is that true? There's no perfume you put on them? They just do it to you? You're all right. Hey, listen, I'd like to have you over the house, I was telling you, but we had a good talk, and...
Well, that was Lenny Bruce from, I guess, the 60s, maybe the 50s. I'm not really sure when. There's no year on this, but this is called How to Relax Your Colored Friends. And boy, times have certainly changed, haven't they? It's a nightclub act. I don't know. I don't know how kind of reaction I get these days. 632-6901. Brain Damage is the program. Let's see who we have out there on the line. Good evening.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing? What's up?
What are we talking about?
Well, you know, we're not really talking about anything. We'll talk about intelligent earthworms and you know, various other important news of the day. And I don't know, whatever is on people's minds.
Uh-huh.
What happened to you this week?
What happened to me this week?
Yes.
I was in a car accident.
You were in a car accident?
Yes.
Are you okay?
Well, what do you want to know?
Well, I mean, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You walked away from it?
I'm fine.
Yeah? And everybody else okay?
Yeah, it was like a 5-car accident. Huh?
5 cars, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Interboro Expressway.
Is on the expressway?
Interboro.
That's a road I've never understood that road.
Yeah, it's all fucked up, isn't it?
Yeah. Good evening. Good evening.
Hey, Eric.
What's up?
Just wanted to know the FCC waived my suspension.
The FCC? Is this Matt?
Yes, it is.
Well, Matt, you know, I don't know. I don't know if we have to get that in writing. You know that.
Well, you know what I did.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've had this discussion before. I mean, when you helicoptered into the meeting the other day, that was, you know, fine and dandy, but we had to, you know, get it straight from the FCC.
Yeah, well, this is what I did.
I mean, technically we're breaking the law here.
Their lawyers would have to spend massive amounts of money on legal fees and tie the whole case up for 10 years, and that didn't really appeal to them, considering that all that money has to go into the health care budget.
Well, yeah, you know, the health care thing is definitely entering into this one way or the other, but I don't know, man. I don't know.
So what do you think about Mr. Clinton's health care plan?
What do I think about it? I think it's nice. I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to have everybody on the same basic computer there, which definitely opens up a lot of possibilities.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, it's going to be illegal not to be on this list. But I'm just a paranoid, you know. I always think there's a plot, a conspiracy someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere, every corner. I can't walk into a room without wondering what's waiting for me in there.
Yes, but you've been right before.
I have been right every time. But that's not the point. I don't want to taint, you know, my impartiality.
But
no, I don't want to taint it at all. What?
I figure this guarantees him re-election in 96.
It could guarantee him re-election even in 94. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, because this is something that will make him live in the history books, and something that will certainly change the way in which we live, but also something which is risky. Could be taking a chance.
Of course, but on the other hand, if you're a political theorist, you would probably say, no, this program, whatever it is, flawed, whatever, you know, whatever, doesn't matter, is better than no program at all, and they can put anything, any old health care plan out, and they can always fix it later on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I mean, people have to have some kind of coverage. Healthcare is not something that should be, you know, a commodity, something that only the rich get. It should be something everybody gets.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I believe that also that applies to food, that applies to basic services, applies to transportation and ways of, you know, getting places and that kind of thing. You know, and education, too, of course. Education is very important. So, you know, you have to have these basic things. And we've lived too long in a society where that's not the case, where everything's, you know, just for people that can't afford it and everybody else, you know, they wind up in the street, literally.
Yeah. Well, at least as far as education is concerned, it's not because we're not spending enough money on it. That's that's another story altogether.
Mm-hmm.
What we're spending it on.
Yeah. Well, it's a question of allocation and all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, where is Mr. Dan Quayle these days?
Dan Quayle, we're going to be...
still having time zone trouble?
We're
going
to be... No, we are calling Dan Quayle. In fact, you know, I talked to him before the show. We worked this out, and we are very happy. We're just not... We're not going crazy over it like with Richard Burton because we're kind of taking the low-key approach, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's better that way because, you know, I don't like hype. I mean, I know you don't like hype either. Most people at the radio station, we don't like hype. We like to sort of play down things, you know. We're mellow. Yeah, we happen to have a former vice president. We're going to be interviewing him, talking to him later in the program. Okay, you know, big deal. It's you know, we also played Lenny Bruce. That's equal. you know?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter. Celebrities, I'll tell you something, Matt. I've learned this. Celebrities are people, too. And I mean that. I mean, they really are people. You talk to them, they have needs, they have wants, they, you know, they eat the same foods, they watch TV, they go to movies, they go to the bathroom, they do all that stuff, you know? And they're people. They're very people-ish. And that's something that I think a lot of us forget about. A lot of us forget that, you know, they're people too. So we're just treating them like people, you know? I mean, yeah, it's great. It's great to be able to hang out with the big shots and go to Hollywood and all that kind of thing like we do. And just, you know, be able to have crowds of people wanting our autographs as well. It's fun. It's, you know, real head trip and all that, but it doesn't go to our heads because we know that, you know, deep down we always are just one of the many common meaningless people that are out there. It's just like us.
Yes. People and there are oftentimes that we even wonder why people want our autographs.
Right. Well, you know, people might think that, but
yeah, especially when they can't read them anyway.
Yeah, you know, it makes you sick sometimes. Kinds of scum that are out there.
Well, no. There's good in everybody.
Yeah, I know that. But usually it's the people that you hang out with that are the good people. And everybody else just kind of, I don't know what tree they fell off of. But
see, our job is to bring out the best in our audience here. And that's always been what I've been trying to do. And I get very frustrated when I don't succeed at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, when you bring out the best in your audience, they usually tune elsewhere. You know, that's what I find to be true.
Well, that's why I was hoping some people would do, but it doesn't seem to work. It seems that the nastier we get, the more they come back. And it's kind of like, it's kind of like a dependency of some sort.
Yeah, it's, you know, people like abuse. People like to be abused constantly over and over and over again. And, you know, we like to abuse. We all do. I mean, that's why we're here, because we believe in power and control and stamping down on the masses and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and
it's
of
fun.
Course, there's
it's,
one thing that
living,
people always have to realize on a call-in show.
What's that?
The host always gets the last word.
That's right. And you will not be an exception, my friend.
Okay.
Yeah. No, seriously, I mean...
my turn will come.
That's the way it works. And my voice sounds better, too. You sound like you're on a phone.
I am on a phone.
Well, exactly, and that's why. And I sound like I'm here live in the studio.
That's because you are.
Yeah, and I can turn you down really, really low.
That's right.
So nobody can hear you, and I can turn myself up really, really loud so I can sound really good like that.
Uh-huh.
There's all kinds of things. I can play music underneath me. I can do all kinds of things.
Yes, you can play music over me, under me, in between, you know, that kind of thing. That's right. It really is a power trip.
It's a power trip, and I get a kick out of it. Oh,
don't we all?
Oh, yes. Well, I don't really care if anybody else does, but I do. That's the important thing. All right, Matt, it's good to hear from you again, but, you know, it's hard to say what the future will hold. I mean, we all know what you said a few weeks ago.
Well, hey, Museum of Television and Radio has already asked me to give them a cart of that whole little excerpt so they can replay it to the people they throw out for vandalism and stuff like that.
Well, you know, remember, I forget who the guy was back, I think in the 50s or something, that said something like, that'll sue the little bastards on the end of his radio show for kids. And that ruined his career when people heard him say that.
Yeah, but he was being paid not to do stuff like that.
Well, that's true, but we're being paid not to do anything, really. But the thing is, we occasionally do it by accident.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, danger.
Since when were we a children's show?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, have you talked to some of our listeners recently?
Well, that's
seems
not
like
my fault.
We've been a children's show for a while, but I don't know. We'll just have to see where that goes.
Yeah.
You know, you can pick your family, but you can't pick your listeners. You know, that's something I've learned over the years.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, it is true. Okay, well, listen, we have a segment we have to get to. And of course, we have Dan Quayle waiting over there in Indiana to talk to us on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything you think we should ask him?
Ask him about his golf game.
Does he play golf? I don't want to bring up golf to somebody who hates it. Is he good?
And Quayle and golf go hand in hand.
Okay, but that's not like a trick question or something. He's not like...
Trick question. He actually does play golf.
Well, yeah, remember when I asked Ford about that? You remember, you know, he hung up on that.
Oh, Ford did it as a joke. Dan Quayle actually plays golf.
Yeah, but Ford, you know, he beans people on a regular basis.
Yeah.
As long as Quayle doesn't do that, or he doesn't hit people with the club, and that kind
of... doesn't do that.
Okay, then I can ask him about golf. No problem.
Yes, you can.
All right. Maybe I'll record something. You can play it on the sports section.
Okay.
All right. All right, thanks for calling, Matt.
See ya.
All right. That's Matt Mankiewicz, the exiled host of Brain Damage, who told the audience to stuff it 2 weeks ago, and was still awaiting the word from the FCC as to whether he can be de-excommunicated. But you can still catch Matt on the sports section, which is on Sunday night at 10. That's only 21 and a half hours away. No, 20 and a half hours away. I don't know. It's getting closer, though. It's getting closer. Also, what's getting closer is our interview with Quail, Dan Quail, and, of course, the end of our show, too. And, you know what else? Yes, it's time for another feature. Yes, every week we venture out into the telephone abyss, and we seek to confuse an operator. And, you know, it never really takes us very long. And this is something that's sort of come to us new here at the radio station. As you know, we have kind of a strange phone system, and we don't always get to do the things that regular people can do, but we're able to do something new this year that we weren't able to do in the past, and that's select our carrier. Yes, we can select our long-distance carrier. You can do it, too, by using special five-digit codes. Now, of course, this is perfectly legal. Everybody has the means to do this, and everybody is encouraged to do this. And do it we shall, by simply grabbing one of our special dial tones and turning it into a regular dial tone. And in this particular case, we're going to call AT&T by dialing 10288 and then 0 to get an operator. We're going to ask this operator what our restrictions are on this line and see what kind of answers we get from
AT&T. Diane, how may I help you?
Long distance company. Yes, hello. I'm wondering what kind of restrictions there are currently on this line. No one's ever asked her this before.
Restricted from billing to the number.
Restricted from billing to the number, okay. And what does that mean?
That whatever call you place must either be billed to a different number, calling card, or made to collect.
I see. Okay. So it doesn't sound like we can do very much then.
You can place a collect call, a third number billing, or a calling card call, sir.
Okay, but we can't place a call, really, can we? In other words, we can't dial a number.
A number can be dialed, sir. It cannot be billed to the number you're speaking from.
I like her. Okay, but I can't pick up the phone, just dial a number and say, bill it to this number, or just dial...
Oh, sir, that's what I am saying.
Okay.
You cannot bill
and you're saying it well.
The number you're speaking from.
Okay, now, all right, I just can't dial direct, in other words. I have to always dial O+?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. This is AT&T, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you for using AT&T.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Bye. I'm in love. I like people that just sort of keep calmly repeating the same thing over and over again. You kind of have to wonder what it is that's going through their minds and what their faces look like as they say it for the fourth time. Do you remember the Asti Spumanti commercials of years ago? They were radio commercials. They had this woman... This man and woman were getting together, obviously, to booze it up or whatever. And this Asti Spumanti stuff, I don't really know what it is, but it's not champagne. That's the point they were trying to make. And this woman would say, "Oh, you bought champagne." And the guy says, "No, it's Asti Spumanti." And she says, "It's delicious champagne." And he says, "It's delicious Asti Spumanti." And she says, "It's really, really delicious champagne." And with teeth clenched, he'd say, "It's delicious, Asti Spumanti," over and over again. And he finally strangles her in the end. And, you know, I never quite figured out how they were able to sell whatever the stuff was using those methods. But they did. They did quite well. They did, really. All right, next company we're going to call is MCI. And we're going to ask the exact same thing. 10222 is their code, and we dial 0 afterwards, and we get an operator. You can do this, too. Probably get a different answer, though.
MCI.
Hello?
I help you.
Yes, hi. I was wondering if you could tell me what the restrictions are on this particular telephone line.
Hello?
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Yes, yes, can you hear me?
Yes. Let me transfer to customer service and they'll give you that information, okay?
Okay, thank you.
One moment, please. Customer service.
All right. Well, apparently a question like that is too much for the MCI operator.
Thank you for calling MCI customer service. My name is Angela. May I please have your area code and telephone number?
This sounds like fun. Yes, I was just wondering if you could tell me what the restrictions are on this particular telephone line.
Okay, sir. I would not be able to do that for you. You'd want to contact your local telephone company.
Okay.
You would be able to get that information for you.
So you can't tell me. Are you able to place a call?
No, sir, I am not.
Okay. How would I place a call through MCI if I wanted to? I don't subscribe to MCI.
You want to place a call? Are you dialing directly?
If I was dialing directly, yes.
Okay, you can dial 10222.
You got it right. Okay.
1 plus the area code and number.
And it'll just go through MCI that way.
Yes, sir, it will.
Okay. Thank you very much for your assistance.
You're welcome, sir, and thank you for calling MCI.
No problem. Goodbye.
Bye.
Whew. And you know, she feels like she's done something. She couldn't answer any questions. Couldn't tell me anything about my line. Wow, that's weird. The phone company. They're supposed to be the phone company, but so far AT&T has been able to tell me I can't do anything. MCI can't tell me anything. Let's see what Sprint can do. Sprint is 10333 and then 0 for the operator.
This is Sprint. May I help you?
I'm sorry. What company is this?
Sprint?
Yes. I was wondering if you could tell me what the restrictions are on this particular line.
The restrictions?
Yes. Can I dial direct on this line? She's
no,
very
sir.
Confused. I can't. What can I do?
You can call collect on your phone card, a third party.
Okay. And that's it?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a prison. I'm in a prison right now, and I just wanted to make sure that the, you know, the restrictions were in order.
Oh, for one moment.
Maybe she likes
collect on a phone card or third party are the only four ways.
Okay, I guess, yeah, they probably wouldn't want us to be calling direct. Okay, well, thank you very much for your help.
Calling Sprint.
Okay, good night.
Bye.
Yeah. That's what they do for prisoners, you know. They have the same kind of class of service we have here at Stony Brook. Prison phones, they call it. Okay. Next is another company. Mystery company, we're going to call this one. 10444. And then 0. Let's see if they can help us.
To speak to a long-distance operator, press 0. For special features, press the star key. To order an access card, press 1.
This is an automated service. It's stay on the line.
Speak to a long-distance operator, press 0. For special features, press the star key. To order an access card, press 1.
This is fun because I don't have a touch-tone phone. What's going to happen to me?
Please hold. A long-distance operator will be right with you.
Thank God. Mm-hmm.
Complete your call as dialed.
Uh-oh.
Please hang up and dial again.
They can't complete my call as dialed to the operator? Well, this is a strange long-distance company. It can't connect you to an operator. Let's call them again. Call them again. 10444 and then 0. This time we're going to hit 0 and speak to the operator directly that way.
To speak to a long-distance operator, press 0. For
okay.
special
Here
features,
we go. We're gonna press
the
0.
Star. Please hold. A long-distance operator will be right with you.
All right, here we go. By the way, this company is called AllNet. AllNet is the company 10444. I'm going to speak to one of their operators.
Complete your call as dialed. Please
what
hang
do you
up
know?
And dial again.
I think that's incredible that you can't speak to an AllNet operator. You get a recording. It transfers you to a recording saying you can't complete this call. Well, I don't recommend that particular long-distance company now, would you? Uh-uh. Okay, we have another one. No, we don't want to dial that. We want to dial this. 10555. This one, I really don't know what the name of it is, so we're going to have to see where we wind up here and whether we can confuse this particular operator as well.
One moment for the Encore operator.
Encore.
This is how may I help you?
Yes, hi. Is this the operator?
Yes, this is the operator.
I bet he likes saying that.
How may I help you?
I was wondering if you could tell me what the restrictions are on my particular telephone line?
How do you mean so?
Well, can I just place a call, or what do I have to do?
From the phone, are you, how are you paying for your call, sir?
Well, that's what I'd like to know. Can I just dial direct?
Oh, I don't really know if you can dial direct, sir, but my computer says that from the phone type that you're using,
uh-huh.
I can only place your collect call for you.
Can only place a collect call, huh?
Okay, would you like me to place a collect call for you?
Yeah, okay, why not?
Okay.
All right, I'm going to 516-632-6901,
mm-hmm.
and this is to Eric.
May I have your name, please?
My name is also Eric.
I'm sorry?
My name is also Eric, so it's to Eric from Eric.
From Eric to Eric?
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
It's easy to remember that way.
So it's going to be a person-to-person collect call?
Yeah, person-to-person
collect call. You just want to talk to Eric, nobody else?
No, there's nobody else I really want to talk to, no.
Okay.
And that's the truth. That's the truth.
Okay. May I have your calling, your area code and the number you've dialed?
516-632.
Mm-hmm. 632?
Yes. 6901.
I'm sorry, sir. We are not authorized to bill to that number. Please hang up and try a call again.
Oh, you sound just like the recording when you said that. mean I can't...
No, I'm not a recording, sir.
Okay, I realize that. Now, I can't call them direct. What's the reason for that?
You could try. I don't really know what type of phone you're using.
Uh-huh.
You can try dialing your number. There shouldn't be any problem except that the phone type that you're using may be malfunctioning. It might not, function.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we might have a problem here.
Yes, you might have a technical problem there. You can choose another phone or try another phone.
I'll do that. I'll try another phone. There's always been problems with this one.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your drunk, sir.
Have a good night. Bye. I'm going to just step into the other room and use another phone. I think that'll solve everybody's problems. All right, that's Encore, 10555. Let's go up to... This is uncharted territory for me. 10666. Followed by 0. Let's see what we get here. Isn't this fun?
We're sorry. The number you dialed cannot be reached with the carrier access code you dialed. Please check the code and try again, or call your carrier for assistance.
Sounds fair enough. Okay, so we can't use that carrier access code of 10666, so we have to go to the next one in our list, which is 10777, followed by a 0. Talk to another operator at another company, or maybe we'll get another recording. I'm not sure.
We're sorry.
Same recording. Okay. We only have a couple more of these to try. 10888, followed by 0. Let's see who we get here. I feel like I've talked to everybody in the world tonight.
MCI, may I help you?
Oh, this is MCI too, is it? I dialed 10222 before and I got MCI, but I just dialed 10888 now. What's the difference between those two?
I believe that's one of the older accesses for part of the East Coast, sir, but that still does route you through to the MCI.
I see. Okay, are you able to tell me what my line restrictions are?
I would have to transfer you to customer service for that information, sir.
Okay, tell you what, I'll figure them out myself.
Please hold for customer service.
Okay, I'll do that too. But I'm also going to hang up because I've already talked to customer service and I tried to get out of this gracefully. This is our last one, 10999, followed by a 0, our last long-distance company of the night.
Services. Please enter the area code and telephone number you are calling.
I don't even know what company this is. What did she say?
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and try your call again.
I didn't even enter a number. All right, I'm going to try this one more time. These automated operator services are the wave of the future. I just want to let everybody know that. See if we get the full recording.
Metromedia Operator Service.
Metromedia.
Please enter the area code and telephone number you are calling.
Okay, we're going to enter zero. Hopefully we'll talk to an operator.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
No operators. All right. Well, that's just the way it is. Okay. We have a special number that we're going to dial. That was sent in by a listener. And should we dial this? I was advised before by the program council not to dial this, but I got news for you, buddies. This is radio. This is freedom of speech, okay? And we can do, well, pretty much do what we want and get away with it because we have that First Amendment thing to back us up. And we're going to do this. We're going to dial this, this special number and see what happens. All right, we got our outside line. And we're going to dial the area code here. And the phone number. And here we go.
AT&T has been disconnected.
Uh-oh.
No further information is available about AT&T. Please check the number and dial again. Thank you for using MCI.
Uh-oh. They said that would happen, but I didn't believe them. Did I just do that? Did I disconnect the whole network? All right, listen, let's get out of this quickly. Yeah, that was Confuse the Operator for this week. This might be the last one. We'll have to see what happens, I'm sure. What do you mean the phones aren't working? Oh, they're really not working, huh? Okay, I'm just going to deal with this for a little bit. I'll be right back.
I can make acquainted with Narcissus.
Be quiet, Mr. Fields. Here, give me that.
Yes, he's nervous. You in the show, too?
No, there weren't any seats left, so they let me sit up here on the stage. What's the name of this show?
I don't know. I think it's a Lucky Strike program.
Mr. Fields, didn't you promise not to mention the product?
Why,
the announcer's job.
He asked me, didn't he? You got to be civil if a man asks you civil questions.
Yes, but...
My father was a Civil War veteran. I've got a brother who's a civil engineer.
Oh.
It's in the family to be civil.
Be quiet until I return. I'll be right back.
A bit grouchy, isn't he?
He certainly is.
Here, I'll give you one of my cards if I can find my card case. It's not in this pocket either. You don't get half your stuff back from the cops any day. Have you seen the new police stations they're building all around the country?
No, I haven't.
Oh, they're wonderful. It's a pleasure to be in.
Say, I think your friend is trying to get your attention.
He's no friend of mine. He's the announcer. We've had a couple of run-ins already. Can't mention the product. It just heard me tell him off. Here he comes.
Mr. Fields, the microphone picks up every word you say. Now be quiet. You understand English, don't you?
I'll tell you a very funny story about that.
Mr. Fields, I implore you. Later on, when you do your sketch, the orchestra will keep quiet. Kindly show them the same curtsy.
Curtsy?
Now, please listen to the music. You evidently don't like music.
Well, I won't say I like it, and I won't say I dislike it. Let me put it this way. I don't mind it. When I studied the hand organ...
But surely, Mr. Fields, everyone must have at least one favorite selection.
You ever hear that song, Throw the Horse Over the Fence, with some hay? Man, I want the lynch let to mention hay on this program.
No. Mr. Fields, it'll be better for all concerned if you go out in the hall until we need you. There, you can do anything. Stand on your head for all I care.
I can hardly stand on my feet.
Get out.
Got a cigarette on you?
No, get out. Come on. Get out.
Let's go.
All right, then. If you want to stay in here, you sit down and keep quiet. They're calling.
See that big lump? Trying to rough me up?
Yeah, he's pretty tough.
I wish he was a champion of the world. Got a cigarette on you?
Yeah, I've got one. It's a lucky strike.
Help!
Don't let them hear you mention Lucky Strike. They'll throw you out, too.
Well, why? Don't they like Lucky Strike?
Sure, everybody does. To my mind, it's the finest cigarette in the country.
Mr. Fields, right out this door, please.
Yes, come on.
Phew. That's a relief.
Best cigarette in the country in the city, too, for that matter, you love.
I think it's right. I think it's wrong. I think the government should step in and conscript it. Fingerprint everybody, picture them, and then keep it that way. Because this country is the only country that lets in all the refuse that they possibly can get along with the good people. If the people of the United States had better wake up before they have their whole little kit and caboodle go down the drain. $1.19 a loaf. And the people in this country are tired of paying for the other people that are coming in here and working with your side. We send money, we help them, but we don't want any more of those aliens, period.
I don't know.
All right, we've got things under control here. The occasional explosion, yeah. What more could you ask for? This is brain damage. And, let's go back to the phones, I guess. I'll forget about that little incident with the phone company if everybody else does. How's that? Good enough. Good evening. How you doing?
Good.
You have to speak up because we have things breaking occasionally.
Yeah. All right. That was my sister.
What was your sister?
She's up a little too late. All right.
Oh, okay.
We have something for you.
You do?
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
News.
You have news?
Yeah, news for you.
Okay. Let's hear it.
All right. Three maintenance workers in Alexandria, Indiana, fixed a massive street flooding problem in October when they pulled a 200-pound hairball from a manhole. Said one of the men, "We thought we had a goat." That's it, though.
A 200-pound what?
Hairball.
Hairball?
Yeah.
Hairball in a what?
In a manhole.
How did a hairball get into a manhole?
I guess it just crawled down there. I don't know.
Oh, boy. That's weird. And what is the source of this information, if I might ask?
Well, news of the weird.
Yeah.
Which is actually what it is. it's in the funny times.
The Sunday Times?
No, not the Sunday Times. It's like an alternative comic newspaper.
An alternative newspaper to the Sunday Times. Yeah.
It's not connected to the Sunday Times.
An alternative newspaper to the Sunday Times with absolutely no connection, written or expressed, to the Sunday Times. See, I can understand this thing. No problem. Anything else?
No.
All right. Well, listen, thanks for sharing that.
All right.
Have a good night.
Bye.
See you next week, maybe. Yeah. 16 Celsius, maybe 61 on the Fahrenheit. Yes. Everything is still the way it should be. Jim, you holding up okay in there?
It could be.
It could be. But then again, it couldn't be. That's the way it is with a word like it could be, right? Good evening.
Yeah, how you doing? This is Lima.
This is who?
Lima.
Lima?
Yeah. I got a question. Do people on Long Island really like polka music?
Oh, yeah. Polka music is what made this island. This island wouldn't be on the map if it wasn't for polka music.
I mean, it's kind of scary. I turned it in and I was kind of scared, so I turned it off.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know. I tried to find a station and I... You know, the reception's not too good, so I couldn't find it. But I all heard was this weird polka, and it was kind of scaring me.
Yeah, well, you know, reception isn't good. We know that. Reception's going to be better real soon. The polka is good. Polka is good. You know, I mean, yeah, it's scary, but good things scare you, you know?
Yeah, you know,
they're
it's
really
kind of like
scary.
A high.
Like, The Exorcist was the best film ever made, and that scared you, you know?
And it was good.
Yeah. And what else was good? What else are good films? You know, what?
Jaws.
That's a good film. That was scary, right? Right?
Yeah, I hear you.
So, I mean, scary things are good for you.
Scary is good.
Scary
like
is...
You see some real fat people that are nice, but they're scary because, you know, you look at them and they're scary, but, you know, in reality, they're good people.
Right. I mean, you've never seen Santa Claus naked, have you?
Well,
that's scary.
My dream.
That's real scary, but, you know, he's a nice person, I hear.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's something to think about.
And I got one more question.
Shoot.
It's a pizza. On the back of the menu on campus, it says, satisfaction guaranteed. All right, three pizzas.
Uh-huh.
Pull open the box, mushrooms and cheese stuck all over the place.
Ooh.
I call up.
Yeah.
I just call up. I say, it says satisfaction guaranteed. Girl says, what do you want me to do about it?
Yeah, well, you know, you got Stony Brook there.
Now, what can I do about it? You know, I don't want to make any bomb threats or anything.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should speak to somebody of a little higher authority that, you know, might know what the word satisfaction guaranteed means. And, you see, the problem, though, is that when you're not satisfied with something, usually what they wind up doing is giving you another one of them.
I know, and that's just not going to help.
I know, I mean, why would you want that? You know, you don't like the thing in the first place, so, I mean, you know, you find like, you know, a worm in a bottle of Coke, and they send you a case of them. Now, what are you supposed to think of that? You know, you're supposed to think maybe, well, there won't be a worm in any of these, since there was a worm in the one I did have. I don't know, it's kind of scary.
Now, in this case, the food is scary, but it's not good for you.
No, it's not good for you.
So I can't explain that.
This is on campus, right?
Yes, it is.
You know, they just opened the Burger King on campus.
Yeah, well, yeah.
What do you think of that?
Says your way right away. I don't know. They have the food waiting out there for about 25 minutes until they dump it.
Uh-huh.
And in the real Burger King, they have it out there for about 7 minutes, and then they dump it. And I don't like the attitudes I get when I go in there. You know, you have the same people working as you had from where, whatever it was, cafeteria last semester, giving you the same crap. It's the same, you know, I'd rather eat pebbles than, like, plastic pieces and just deal with the congestion instead of the odds that they've given me.
Well, so it sounds to me like you're not overly enthralled and pleased that fast food has come to Stony Brook.
I am not.
All right, yeah, well, that's something that certainly is being talked about in the hallowed hallways here at this particular mental institution, and something that I'm sure we'll talk about in future weeks.
But I applaud them for the effort for trying to get a Burger King on campus.
Well, you know, somehow I think Burger King will go wherever you ask them to if there are people there. I mean, you know, you could get one you can get one anywhere, any part of the world, you know, as long as there's a crowd of people. And we certainly have a crowd of people here, right?
I hear you.
Okay. Listen, thanks for calling.
And thank you.
All right, have a good night. And it looks like we're out of time. Yeah, we're out. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. We forgot. We forgot to call Dan. I just dissed the assistant, the vice president. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. He was waiting for us all night long. Okay. All right, look. I'm man enough to admit it. This is my fault. This is my fault, most definitely.
Possibly.
No, definitely. This is definitely my fault. I'm going to pay for this. Look, the hotline's ringing and everything. Tell you what, folks, I'm not going to expose you to any more of this. We're going to get out of here. Kenyon's up next with some nice music, and I better get out of here quickly. See you next week. Thank you.
Nobody there.